Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, your busy day, to join me on my radio broadcast this morning. Today is Thursday, November 11th, 2021, and I want to begin the broadcast today by giving a big salute to all of our dedicated, courageous military men and women, our veterans, who have literally sacrificed their lives for our freedoms. And the subject of today's program is all about freedom. And I want to begin it in the right way, because so often when it comes to Veterans Day, it's just another holiday, another day off of work for federal workers, for some people. But this is not just another day. The very theme of today's program is fighting for our rights and our freedom. And the first person that we need to honor is our veterans. My father was a World War II veteran in the Battle of the Bulge, which was the most significant battle of World War II that turned the tide. And it was at that point that Berlin would soon be surrendering. And so I think of my veteran father-in-law who served in the Army as well. I think of so many people, my good friend Martin, Navy SEAL. There are so many people to recognize and thank today that I know I'm going to forget someone, but I want to say thank you so much for fighting and standing for our freedoms. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I'm taking a different trek. Usually on this Thursday edition of my broadcast, I'm doing some Bible themes or Bible teaching, topical teaching, something like that. Today, what I want to do is I want to focus on themes from a recent book that I published back in June. It's entitled Silenced, Shut Up or Die. This book is unique. It is chronicling when the COVID crisis hit the United States around February, March of 2020. And then a few months later, with the death of George Floyd and the rioting and all of the kabbalah that followed afterwards, which was mixed in with the COVID, our nation took an abrupt turn. It's never been the same since then, and is a fictional novel, but it's based on real live events. And the cover of the book is very unique. It's a picture of a young girl with some duct tape across her mouth. and it's called Silenced, Shut Up or Die. There are so many of us that believe that this virus was not an accident of nature, but that it was a planned event in a Wuhan lab in China. And although we cannot absolutely prove that, the evidence proves that this was no accident, that this virus was concocted in the Wuhan lab. For what reason? Why is the famous, world-famous disease and virus expert, Dr. Fauci, why is he being tried for gain-of-function research leading to the creation of this virus? Why is he on Capitol Hill continuing to lie and lie and lie and distract from what happened? Why is it when this virus hit that the number of states and their laws for election night were changed, and I'm thinking of Pennsylvania, and that there was a massive mail-in voting that turned the tide of the election, and many of us believe this election was rigged. There is very strong proof of that. Why is it all of this happened in an election year? I'm sure you can't figure that out. But it was because of the virus that our economy plunged, and then the government overreach began. And then our president, Donald J. Trump, who had transformed country economically, we were energy free, energy independent, the Middle East was stable, we were headed in a super incredibly independent direction. Everything was going wonderfully until this virus hit. And then everything tanked. I'm sure you understand where I'm going with this. I believe all of this was a planned event. I believe the deep state and many other figures want so much to radically change our country into a socialist communist nation. There is no doubt in my mind that there is no accident. This is no fluke of nature. So I decided to write about this because it's hitting home where I'm at. As a Christian, the churches were starting to be closed down, as well as businesses, but the strip clubs and the liquor stores are staying open. Big tech was silencing everyone for daring to question the vaccine. And now where we're at, almost 2 years later, is vaccine mandates. Our constitutional rights are being attacked like never before. Our opinions are being attacked like never before. Our schools are trying to teach critical race theory, and they deny it, but that's what they're doing. The left wants to pit us against the black community. Our country is going through a tsunami, a turmoil. That's what prompted me to write my book, Silenced, Shut Up or Die. And today what I want to do is I want to share with you themes from this book. I want you to understand that this book is a landmark book, unlike any other book I've written, so that we can look at the historical context of what happened and how it's attacking our freedoms. And so I'm going to do that this morning. And I want to start out with a quote from someone you may not be familiar with, but she's an amazing lady. She was an atheist, but she had a lot of conservative leanings. Her name was Ayn Rand, and this is what she said. This quote is in the front page of my book. Do not keep silent when your values and ideas are being attacked. If a dictatorship ever comes to this country, it will be by the fault of those who keep silent. We are still free enough to speak. Do we have time? No one can tell. What an amazing quote. Soon after this virus hit, our churches were attacked. Our religious liberties were being confronted. Now, many would say, well, it's only to stop the spread of the virus. Well, let me tell you what, this has never been about a virus, and I think you know what I mean. I want to begin the program today before I read for my book with a very important soundbite. This is the story of a pastor in Canada who in April of 2021 was having an Easter service in his church when suddenly the police burst through the door. And I want you to hear how he handled this situation, because what this situation is about is what my book is about. So let's hear it right now on The Cross in the Desert.
Yesterday, we showed you this remarkable scene. A policeman in a supposedly civilized country busting into an Easter service and attempting to close it down, which was in fact an illegal act by those coppers. In this case, the massed ranks of the constabulary didn't measure up to one determined pastor, and he cast them out of his church. That preacher joins us now, Arthur Pawlowski. Pastor, it is great to see you. You're joining us from Calgary, where those nice Canadian police suddenly invaded, and you basically, through the sheer force of your personality, threw them out of the temple, and it was a wonderful thing to see those guys retreating down the stairs. What's interesting is you grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and what happened to you over Easter is exactly, I take it, why you didn't want to stay behind the Iron Curtain.
That's exactly, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I grew up under communist dictatorship, behind the Iron Curtain, under the boot of the Soviets. And I'm telling you, that's no fun at all. It was a disaster. Police officers could break into your house 5 in the morning. They could beat you up, torture. They could arrest you for no matter what reason they would come up with. There was a famous saying in Poland when I was growing up by the police: give me a man and we will find something on that man. So it was like a flashback when those police officers showed up at my church. Everything kind of came back to life from my childhood. And the only thing I could do is to fend off the wolves as a shepherd. And I used my voice to get rid of them. They were illegally encroaching on our rights during the most holy days, during the Passover celebration. How dare they? The audacity of those people coming, it was a shocking thing. I was a little bit shaken, but I did what every shepherd right now on the planet Earth should be doing, fend off the wolves. We as lions should never bow before the hyenas, and that's what they are right now.
Well, the hyenas are fairly confident in their powers, and a lot of the things that have become accepted in the last year, for example, New York police kicking a woman to the ground because she's not wearing a mask, governors of American states and Canadian provinces telling you whether you're allowed to have your granny or your aunt over for Christmas or Thanksgiving. I mean, that is the kind of tight 24/7 control that most communist countries lived under for half a century from the end of the Second World War. Is it all beginning to look worryingly familiar to you, the way people accept it?
Yes, it is. I have been warning Canadians for the past 16 years that that's what's coming. I could smell it. I could see it at every corner. The implementation of what we are seeing now, it started about 20 years ago. So growing up under communist dictatorship, I mean, that's a disaster. That's hell on earth. And I see it already in our Western democracies. So the only way I know how to fight them is 1981, that I witnessed millions of Poles taking to the streets and saying to them, no more, get out of our country, get out, stop. Millions of Poles took it to the streets during Solidarity, Lech Wałęsa, and they want their freedom. Right now, if you want your freedom back, because we have to remember, history is teaching us that those people will never give up their new gained powers. You got to demand those rights back. You have to fight for your rights. They'll never give it back to you freely. So how to do it? Get them out of your properties, out of your businesses, out of your churches. Open up. Open the churches. Clergymen should unite and start pushing this darkness away. And we should come and take to the streets and say, no more lockdowns, no more restrictions. We will not put up with this anymore. We are fighting back.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Pastor. That is very inspiring. I would love to see a Lech Wałęsa 1981-size demonstration on the streets of a Western city. It would be very heartening.
This is an amazing man, a very courageous Canadian pastor who knows and understands the oppression. He lived behind the Iron Curtain. He was in Poland. He suffered under the communist dictatorship, the Soviet Union. He knows all about this. And here he is pastoring a church in Canada. And right before his eyes, what he escaped from is right in his own backyard in Canada. Their church is being invaded by police on an Easter morning service. How do you need, how much more evidence do you need to have your eyes opened as to what is happening all around us? This book I wrote, Silence, Shut Up or Die, is the story. It's a fictional story based on true events. It's the story of an Iraq war veteran. His name is Denny McDaniels. When he returns from Iraq, together with his wife, they decide they want to go in the ministry. They want to go out on the streets and talk to the homeless people, share the gospel with the drug addicts. They want to find a place to plant a church where they can relate to people, where they can be with people. They choose the city of Seattle, and their church is right there on First Avenue in the business district, next door to all of the shops and the small businesses. They want to be in the heart of the one of the most liberal cities in the United States. Denny McDaniels becomes Pastor Denny McDaniels, and he loves people. And in my book, there is the opening scene in chapter one where he's walking down First Avenue and seeing all of the small businesses closed. They're bankrupt. The COVID crisis has shut down everything. And he knows his church is next. He knows that they're going to come for him. They're doing the mask mandate. They're doing the social distancing. But he knows that's not enough. And so as he walks into the church that Sunday, who do you think is there? Council member Robert McMillan. Pastor, the disease, the virus is spreading. The death count is up. You're going to have to close the doors of the church and meet online at home. We cannot allow you to have it open any longer. Well, of course, Pastor Denny McDaniels says, there's no way I'm doing this. You have strip clubs and liquor stores around here that are still open. You're not going to close my church doors, okay? The councilman says, have it your way. Every day that you're open, it's going to be a significant fine, and then we will vote as a council to have this church door permanently closed. And so think about this. You're the pastor of this small church of about 300 people, and you have to go and talk to your church members that morning. And what I'd like to do now is take us into chapter one of my book, and I want you to hear how Pastor Denny McDaniels is going to confront this situation. The 9 o'clock service was about ready to begin. The 200 seats facing the stage where the pulpit was located were now filled to capacity. Three cameras on tripods were strategically placed in the storefront auditorium to broadcast the service on Facebook Live. Pastor McDaniels placed his laptop down on the pulpit in front of him and logged on. Behind him was a large video screen for his PowerPoint presentation this morning. He had a very serious and sober message to proclaim about the crisis River of Life Community Church was now facing. Taking his handkerchief out of his pocket, he gently wiped the beads of sweat rolling down his face. He could feel the stress and pressure all throughout his body. It reminded him of the stress right before going into battle in Iraq. Those were the days he wished he could forget, but the nightmares refused to go away. The lights went dim in the tiny storefront auditorium, and the congregation became quiet. Pastor McDaniels took a long, deep breath and stared intently into the faces of the church members anxious to hear the message this morning. Good morning, beloved believers, Denny enthusiastically said. There was a loud echo of good mornings in reply. Denny pressed a key on the computer and the scripture, Matthew 16:18, boldly flashed across the screen. As all of you know, this is my life verse for ministry. Jesus declares to Peter, after he makes a bold confession that he is the Son of God, Jesus replies, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Then he pressed another key, and a picture of Ayn Rand came up on the screen with a quote underneath it. Ayn Rand, the great novelist, may have been an atheist, but she was right about this, and I quote, "Do not keep silent when your own values are being attacked. If a dictatorship ever comes to this country, it will be by the fault of those who keep silent. We are still free enough to speak. Do we have time? No one can tell." Pastor McDaniels took a quick sip of cool water from a cup next to his laptop. This morning, in fact, just over an hour ago, Councilman Robert McMillan, he sat in my office and was very blunt and to the point. He told me that I would have to close the doors of our church because of the pandemic. I looked him straight in the eyes and told him, "Sir, I cannot do that. I am willing to wear a mask, and we as a church are willing to abide by social distancing in our services, but I will not and cannot shut our doors because I believe it goes directly against our constitutional rights." A loud chorus of amens echoed throughout the auditorium. We are in a crisis. Every day that we keep our doors open, we will be fined $3,000 a day. And if we don't fully comply, the councilman threatened to revoke our occupancy permit. The congregation was shocked. Gasps and moans could be heard. As your pastor, I have a solemn responsibility to protect this flock. I take that seriously. I care about your health and safety, but I also firmly believe that across this nation, the government and the state powers that be are using this virus to control our lives. There is so much misinformation out there on the internet, and if someone dares to disagree with the narrative, social media and state governments rush in to shut us down. That is very scary. We cannot and we must not be silent, as Ayn Rand so rightfully proclaims. The city of council, that is the city council of Seattle, wants to silence us. However, Jesus promises us that the gates of hell cannot stop the power of the gospel, cannot stop or silence the church. A loud round of applause shattered the silence of the auditorium. People stood up to their feet, clapping loudly. Just yesterday, I heard from two very distraught church members who work at the local hospital in housekeeping. They had posted something on Facebook speaking out against the activities of Black Lives Matters in the cities across America that are currently rioting and burning down small businesses. Within a matter of hours, the two church members were hauled into the offices of human resources and fired for sowing racial discord on social media while at work. A loud chorus of boos throughout the auditorium. Pastor McDaniel slapped his fist firmly down on the podium. Big tech, social media, and employers drinking the poison of political correctness are working overtime to trample on our First Amendment rights of free speech. Pastor McDaniels pressed another key on his computer. A picture of Hitler speaking to a large crowd in Nazi Germany flashed across the screen. Under National Socialism, Hitler created a totalitarian state that infiltrated the churches, shut down their preaching, secularizing the message of the gospel. God had to be removed in order for the policies of National Socialism to be implemented. The same is true for today. When the government removes all references to God in prayer, then the vacuum is filled or it's replaced with secular values, abortion, euthanasia, sexual indoctrination of children, homosexual marriage, etc. Many church members shook their heads in shame in response. Pastor McDaniels moved away from the pulpit and moved closer to the edge of the stage. He looked intently into the eyes of the congregation. I believe God is using this virus to shake his church. I believe he is sending persecution to purify us. I believe he is calling us to shake off our complacency and go to a whole new level of ministry. But it is our responsibility to seek his face and pray like never before. We are facing demonic onslaught, powers in high places, using the government to attack and silence the church. We must not retreat under government oppression and censorship. At this hour, we are witnessing the very foundations of freedom and democracy crumbling before our very eyes. Pastor McDaniels pressed another key on his laptop, and pictures of masks flashed onto the screen. Do not misunderstand me. I believe this virus is real, and we must respond with common sense and be safe. But I want you to understand what I believe is exactly going on behind the scenes. Pastor McDaniels removed his mask and held it up for everyone to see. Over 2,300 years ago, long before Islam, Arabs discovered forcing people to cover their noses and mouths broke their will and individuality. It depersonalized them, and it made them submissive. That is why, later on, they imposed on every woman the mandatory use of a fabric over their face. Then Islam turned it into a women's symbol of submission to Allah. Do you know that modern psychology states that without a face, we don't exist as independent beings? Therefore, face coverings and masks are nothing more than ancient tools to break down people psychologically. Masks delete individuality. Pastor McDaniels turned off his computer and took a deep breath, looking boldly into the faces of the congregation sitting stunned before his eyes. We are facing a very serious crisis. I will not lie to you, but personally, I'm a little frightened about what has happened all around us. However, we have the bold promise of Christ that Satan and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against us. I need to know if everyone is on board with me. We are in the fight of our lives, but we must not and we cannot be silent. The lights came back on in the auditorium as Pastor McDaniels concluded his sermon. I want to conclude by saying that Christians are not to act like sheep, following blindly every voice, pretending to be authoritative. The only voice we must obey is the voice of Christ. There are some who are willing to obey the government and their scare tactics in order to obtain a little safety and security. But I want to remind you that the great statesman, Ben Franklin, in his wisdom, foreseeing our present day maybe, denounced that philosophy and warned us, quote, any society that will give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both. The congregation became totally silent, listening intently to Pastor McDaniel's every word. In the coming days, we are going to be sorely tempted to throw in the towel. But remember, we are soldiers of Christ. And as soldiers, we never give up knowing God is on our side. He will never leave or forsake us. He stands with us until the very end. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe, and our fight is his fight. The battle is the Lord. Let's pray. Well, this is how Pastor Denny McDaniels of River of Life Community Church, this little tiny congregation of around 300 people in the heart of Seattle, this is how he responded to the mandate to close the churches. Is this your attitude? If you're a Christian, does your pastor stand up or does he simply blindly comply and lose our freedom? This is what is at stake, our freedoms. We are honoring our vets today who died, who gave their lives for our freedoms. And it would be a way of dishonoring them to simply comply and to give in. There is a fine line between obedience to authorities, obedience to government, and when the government overreaches, we don't obey. The perfect example of that is here in my book, Silenced, Shut Up or Die. Now, later on in chapter 2, there is an attack on Pastor McDaniel's home. He looked at the surveillance footage and noticed that some people, some domestic terrorists, had painted garage in bold letters that unless you shut up, your kids are next. They threatened his family. He called the police, did the right thing, and then he got a message from a black friend of his, a young man named Reggie, who wanted to meet with him. So we went down to where Reggie is shooting basketballs. He met with him, and Reggie is saying, I'm being forced. I am being pressured by Black Lives Matter to come out. There's going to be some demonstrations in a couple of days about the murder of George Floyd right here in Seattle, and of course there was. And he says, I won't join that. I want no part of that. And so, of course, the pastor, Denny McDaniels, puts his arm around Reggie. He supports him. He says, you can stay with me and my family and get out of this neighborhood, get away from that until things quiet down. So Reggie does that. He goes to the McDaniels home and stays with them. And the next scene is so important in my book because the strength and the wisdom to fight this battle comes from the Lord. And Pastor Denny McDaniels, he needs some quiet time alone with God. And so he's feeling the cultural pressure building up inside of him, but he has a problem. He is suffering from PTSD. He has nightmares about losing good friends in the Iraq War, and he knows what this pressure is doing to him. And so as he's walking in the woods, it's a beautiful place called Discovery Park outside of Seattle. It's on the shores of Puget Sound, and he's walking in these breathtaking walking trails where he's communing with nature. He's headed toward the lighthouse on West Point. He's thinking, he's praying, and all of a sudden he is hit with a PTSD attack, the post-traumatic stress disorder. And the nightmares of his tour of duty in Iraq are flashing before his mind. And what's happening with the church, what's happening with the pandemic and with Reggie has all caught up with him. And so Denny, he falls to his knees, tears. He's under so much stress. He's crying out, leave me alone, these nightmares of PTSD. He's reliving the Iraq War. And it's something he's never really shared with the church members. He feels so bad about this. But slowly but surely, God's word begins to breathe life into his mind. The echo, the familiar words of the Psalms begins to overtake him. And suddenly the anxiety attack is gone. And he remembers Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? He rises up from the gravel in the dirt. He brushes off his knees. He continues to reflect on Psalm 27. God, you are my light and my salvation. I will not be afraid. And then he wipes the tears from his eyes. He takes a deep breath. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid, Denny shouts. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. So you can picture Denny and this wilderness trail. He's raising his arms into the air in surrender and praise to God. And then he thinks of the other words to that psalm. For he will conceal me, that is God, will conceal me when trouble comes. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. So the promises of Psalm 27 are radiating throughout his mind and his body. The tormenting nightmares, the visions of death all around him, they begin to subside. And finally he arrives at the lighthouse at Puget Sound. He gazes out at the ocean, and he thinks again of Psalm 40. The Psalms rescue him. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to my God. Denny is free from the anxiety because the truth of God's word has destroyed the darkness in his mind. This is how he is fighting the battle in praise and submission to God. Now, that is the first chapter, two chapters of my book, Silenced, Shut Up and Die. I really recommend this book, not just because I wrote it, but to give you strength in this time of hopelessness and despair. This is a good book to strengthen you in what is happening all around us. You can get Silence, Shut Up or Die, right up on Amazon, in both Kindle and paperback. This is just the beginning of this series. Now, next Thursday, I want to continue on in another theme on this book with another character in this book that I think you will enjoy, and it's really important for you to listen. But I want to continue on this theme with the remaining time of my program. I want us now to go to a rally just this past Monday in Los Angeles, a very important freedom rally where first responders were saying no to the vaccine mandate. I want to take you right there because I want you to hear this freedom rally just this past Monday in Los Angeles.
Yes. And Marla, you can hear the noise around me. This is indeed a massive protest. I'm standing in front of Grand Park in the shadow of LA City Hall, and according to law enforcement, they told me just moments ago, they think there are at least 4,000 people here. That was their estimate at 11 a.m. this morning, so I imagine it's gone up since then. I got caught in horrible traffic trying to get here. All the city streets are jammed, and what you're seeing is not only people who identify themselves as being police or in the fire department, but actually just regular folks. Regular folks who are saying that they are concerned moms. It's really kind of a mixture of people who are protesting this. Now let's hear from a retired LAPD officer and hear what he had to say just moments ago.
We're not against the vaccine. We're not against people that have taken the vaccine. What we're here is we're fighting for government intrusion into someone's ability to choose whether or not they need to be vaccinated. Our law enforcement personnel, they need us. We are a public safety crisis. If we lose thousands of officers in a matter of days, police and firefighters are not going to be able to respond to 911 calls in a timely manner, and that could cost somebody's life.
So you can see, as we look from the air, just this mass of humanity that's assembling on this very busy Monday morning in downtown Los Angeles. They are demanding to be heard. And as we just heard in the lead-in coming to me, of course, those mandates are being enforced today on Monday. You have to be able to show your vaccine card as you go into businesses. This has made a lot of people angry, not just those that are in public entities like the fire department or in the DWP, but people who identify themselves as just regular folks. Joining me live right now, coming back live to in front of LA City Hall, we're going to talk to JoLynn Saunders right now. You told me earlier, we're looking at your sign, take this jab and shove it. You said you're just a mom. You live in Ventura, but your husband works for the DWP, so you as a family have a lot on the line.
Absolutely. We have our home. We have our livelihood. We have everything at risk right now, and we're willing to give it all up. I mean, this is not right. We're about freedom. We're about choice. That's the way that we're supposed to be. That's the way America's supposed to be. We shouldn't be forced to take this vaccine. If the vaccine was so effective and so safe, why would it be forced like this?
Now, JoLynn, you do realize, of course, the CDC, the World Health Organization, they have all said that it's really important that you get vaccinated to keep people safe and free of getting COVID vaccine. Just real quickly, can you tell us what your thoughts are on that?
My thoughts are most of the people right now that are in the hospital are vaccinated. So if it's working, then why are most of the vaccinated people in the hospital and why are they spreading it right now?
All right, JoLynn, of course, all the medical experts defy what you're saying, but you are very entrenched in your position, and you're willing even for your husband to possibly lose his job.
We're absolutely willing. All these people are willing. LADWP, the fire departments, the police officers.
Mrs. Saunders, thank you so much. As you can see, people are very emotional about this topic. They are very concerned about it, and they're willing to take it to whatever means to be heard. I'm Laura Diaz reporting live from downtown Los Angeles. Now back to the studio.
That was the massive rally this past Monday in Los Angeles, and you heard the remarks of this lady. It's very clear to me that the government has so stepped over the line, and this national federal mandate is so unconstitutional. Lawyers are suing the Biden administration. They're taking these cases to the local appellate courts. They are standing up for our rights, our religious rights, our freedoms to not inject our body with something we are against. We should not have to comply simply because the federal government says you will do it or you'll lose your job. Now, of course, the latest news on this is it's going to be January 4th, where it will be enforced by OSHA in the workplaces all over the United States. That, of course, is being challenged as unconstitutional. I am not against vaccines. I've had the flu shot. I don't have a problem with that. But this is a very dangerous, in my opinion, experimental vaccine with the many problems it has with reactions, some of them fatal, heart problems, blood clots, etc. There are some real problems with this vaccine. And again, you hear it all the time with pro-choice people. My body, my right. Well, okay, I can agree with that in one sense. It's my body and my right not to have to have something injected in it that could cause harm to me on religious reasons. If I have allergies or whatever the reason may be, I have a right to refuse that. But that's not being accepted anymore. The government also, as you probably well are aware of, Biden wants the IRS to look into your bank accounts if you have $600 or more dollars, et cetera, et cetera. If you cannot see, I don't know how to convince you that your eyes should be open to what's happening in our country, in our culture, all over. We are going through a massive takeover by the government. They did this in Australia. In fact, one of the government leaders in Australia said, "Welcome to the New World Order." I remember her saying this. That's what this is. To me, this is not about a vaccine or a virus. It's about how much the government can own your life from the cradle to the grave. And we have to stand up against it. This is not some conspiracy theory. This is not some alarmist attitude. This is serious. And I think, as the woman in Australia said, this is the new world order. I think she was right about that. That's what I see it as, a religious militant transformation that is attacking our freedoms every way possible. I want us to pause just for a minute here and think about this and reflect on this song by the Newsboys. This was a song in God's Not Dead 2. And I want you to think about the words to this song and what this means in light of everything I'm talking to you about today. It's called Guilty. Let's listen.
When did it become breaking a rule to say your name out loud in school? When your name's the only one that sets us free? When did it become incorrect to speak the truth about life and death? When your life gave us all eternity? Even if it gets me convicted, I'll be on my knees with my hands lifted.
Many powerful truths in that song by the Newsboys, Guilty, from the movie God's Not Dead 2. I want to end the program from what Scripture says about how you and I as Christians need to face this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare. There are so many different admonitions of Scripture, but I think this one sums it up, that we as Christians need to put on Christ every day. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Obviously, if you look all around you, this is not just a flesh and blood battle. This is a spiritual warfare. And Paul is going to amplify on how that warfare is organized. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul, I believe, is intimating to two things here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, so it's not just against sinful man, fighting against sinful man, but against the rulers. He could be referring to the Roman rulers. He could have been referring to the Caesars, because he says against the authorities. So it could be corrupt governments, against the cosmic powers. So he goes beyond just the rulers, the Caesars, the governments. He's now saying cosmic powers over this present darkness. Now he's alluding to something, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is demonic. It's very organized. Demonic powers infiltrating our government to undermine our salvation and our freedom and our truth as Christians to be able to assemble together and to worship. You have to understand that our spiritual warfare is not against just the flesh and blood, against the city council, against the government, against the president. It has really its origin in the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So Paul puts his finger right on the source or the origin of our fight. He says, therefore, in light of this, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, something we need to do, in light of where the origin of this problem originates from, in light of the fact that we're fighting against Satan himself, we as Christians have a responsibility. We take up the full armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day, so that you won't be overwhelmed in the evil day. He says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. So it's like the armor of the Roman soldier. Think of it that way. We're putting on truth every day. It's like a belt. Put on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we are covered like a breastplate, reminding us that our righteousness is not our own, but it is a gift from God. We're putting on truth. We're clothed in righteousness. Our shoes prepped, are ready to preach the gospel of peace. So we're putting on the shoes, the gospel shoes. We're ready in every situation to preach the gospel. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now that's important. The soldier had the shield of faith because he would have to extinguish all of the flaming darts that came at him. Well, these are the accusations of the evil one, that we put on faith, that we stand in the faithfulness of God. We are faithful to our faithful God. We have faith. We arm our mind and heart with faith. And we stop the accusations of the evil one. We don't listen to them. We take on the shield of faith to protect our heart and mind from these false accusations. We fight against the flaming darts of the evil one, and we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is the word of God, Paul says. Now you picture this soldier dressed in such a way that he's ready to stand in the evil day, and then praying at all times of the Spirit. Prayer energizes every piece of this armor. We must be those Christians who are faithful in praying. Paul says when you've done all of that, you can stand in the evil day. The truth, the belt of truth, and that you take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You are ready to fight. You are ready to stand against the evil. And that's what this book, Silenced, Shut Up or Die, that I wrote, is all about. Pastor Denny McDaniels refuses to cower and to be silenced because he takes very seriously the admonition of Scripture in what I just read to you. And so he is standing for the truth of the gospel. He's standing for our constitutional rights. He is standing, and he's put on the armor of God. So I wanted you to know this morning, as you think today about our great veterans who sacrificed their lives for our freedom, let us not forget their sacrifice and not forget their service. And when we see cancel culture, big tech, and all of these tyrannical devices of the government, we stand in our armor. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in the might and the power of our great God. But we stand dressed and ready for battle. Make no mistake, as I stand here today talking to you, the battle is only going to intensify. And if we're going to stand in the evil day, we need to obey what Scripture tells us to do. And remember that the battle is the Lord's, that the gates of hell will not prevail against our church. Jesus died. He is the founder, the sustainer, the Lord of our church. And he promises us no scheme of Satan will thwart my purpose. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Today I've just began this series dealing with cancel culture, government tyranny, vaccine mandates. So next Thursday we're going to continue on in my book, Silenced, Shut Up or Die. I'm going to take a different direction and show a very powerful character. Her name is Kelly. She's a prayer warrior and an evangelist. I want to take you to another dimension of my book, and I want to say thank you so much today for spending time with me. And we need to stand together in our armor and pray that the church will triumph over this mandate and over this tyranny. Our freedoms are at stake. Let us stand in the strength and the might of God, and remember that the battle is the Lord's. He is our Lord. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.